All right, this morning, if you have your Bibles, we have been studying in the book of Matthew, but I touched upon a little bit the other night dealing with Judah and how that it's from the tribe of Judah that Christ came into the world. He fulfilled every jot and tittle of the law, and he fulfilled all righteousness. When we look at the Scriptures and see what the Scripture says about our Savior, and then we look at tradition, and traditionally we say that Christ was born on December 25th. Well, that tradition doesn't fit the Word of God. The Word of God tells us very clearly in the book of Luke that the shepherds were watching their flocks by night. Now, you don't have to be a farmer, but if you've ever done any reading at all or just been observant, you know that, we might do it a little bit different today, but basically, the reason the shepherds watched their flock by night, they only did it basically one time in the year, and that was during lambing, because ordinarily it's much easier to put the sheep in a fold at night, because the shepherd can sleep at the door, and the briars and all the things around the wild animal can't get in to make a prey of the sheep, and it doesn't take a whole crew to keep the sheep safely. Okay. So there's one time in the year when they don't put them in a fold, and that's in the spring when the lambs, or when the sheep, the ewes, are dropping their lambs. Now, if they were in a fold when they dropped the lambs, with all the sheep so close together, those newborn lambs would likely be trampled to death before they could get to their feet. So, biblically, we're told that the shepherds were watching their flocks, what?
By night.
So we have a tradition of Christmas, that's based upon, not on the Word of God, Christ was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king. That's biblical. But it wasn't in the middle of winter. And that basically denies it just doesn't fit the parameters of Scripture, put it that way. Okay, so along with that Christmas tradition, what does the Scripture say? When Christ was born in Bethlehem of Judea, in the days of Herod the king, we have the shepherds watching their flocks by night. But then when the Magi arrive, and if we just read what it says, we would realize that when the Magi arrived, they weren't in the manger, or they weren't in out in the barn. They went in, you read it in Matthew's gospel, they entered into the house. Well, when they were sent there for a registration for a taxation, everybody had to go to the city of their birth, and they didn't have hotels and motels in those days. People would stay in households with relatives, different ones, because of this mass movement, there wasn't any room. And so the only place that Joseph and Mary could be put up while Mary gave birth to Jesus was basically in the barn. And when Christ was born, they laid him in a manger. A manger is a feed trough. And so that fits what we know about the birthing of lambs. So when we read about the birth of Christ in Luke, we see the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. Now, when we go to Matthew, when the Magi came, where did they come to? Well, they followed the star. They saw the star in the east. Now, remember when the shepherds were watching their flocks by night, the angels appeared unto them, and they followed the star to where Christ was born. Well, in the east, you know, over around, somewhere around Babylon, Babylon was destroyed, never to be inhabited again. But in that area, that's where Daniel and the Jews, they were carried away into Babylonian captivity, and they were there for, if I remember correctly, 70 years, and then they returned. But everyone didn't return. It was in Babylon that the Jews became money men. And by the time of the birth of our Lord, virtually every kingdom, the Romans, didn't make it, the Assyrians, whoever it was, they had someone who generally was a Jew to keep their finances. During World War II, there was a family in Germany, the Warburgs. They were a banking family. And while Hitler persecuted the Jews, you know, put many in internment camps and then gassed them and, you know, burned up their bodies and so forth, he didn't touch the Warburgs. You know. Why? Because the Warburgs were a banking family with wealth, and they could help Hitler have money to fight his war. Okay. So, you know, they learned all of that down in Babylon. Now, this week, traditionally, today is called Palm Sunday. Well, what was yesterday? What would it be called in the Jewish economy? It'd be called the Sabbath. Now, let's go to the 12th chapter of John, or just a moment, a couple of verses in the 11th chapter. And it says, okay, in verse 53, well, let's see. Let's see. Okay, let's begin at verse 48. If we let him, thus alone all men will believe on him, talking about Jesus, and the Romans shall come and take away both our place. We're pretty high up in the government. We're used as money men, you know, and our nation. And one of them named Caiaphas, being the high priest, that same year said unto them, you know nothing at all, nor consider that it's expedient for us that one man should die for the people. Now, he was speaking that not because he was a believer, but simply because he was high priest and God was using him to put the truth before the nation of Israel. And the whole nation perished not. And this spake he, what? Not of himself. He was the head of the Jewish, religious party and the priests and so forth. And this spake he not of himself, but being high priest that year, he prophesied that Jesus should die for this nation. Okay. Now, traditionally, what's the day called? It's called Palm Sunday, right? And Jesus made his triumphal entry into Jerusalem. But nobody ever asked the question, if this is Palm Sunday, what was yesterday? What was the Jewish Sabbath? And the distance that you could travel on the Sabbath, if we read the first chapter of Acts, we find that Bethany was a Sabbath day's journey from Jerusalem. Nominally, you know, less than a mile from Bethany, you know, basically what established the basis for a Sabbath day's journey when the Jews occupied, in the various tribes at different places surrounding the tabernacle in the wilderness, from the outermost edge of the camp into the tabernacle and back to where they dwelt, was a Sabbath day's journey. So the distance, we read in the first chapter of the book of Acts, the distance from Bethany to Jerusalem was what? A Sabbath day's journey. Now, let's continue on here in John. And it says, they took counsel together how they might put Jesus to death in verse 53. Jesus therefore walked no more openly among the Jews, but went thence into a country near to the wilderness. And that was in a city called Ephraim. And Ephraim is, more than a Sabbath day's journey to Jericho. And Jericho is more than a Sabbath day journey to Bethany, but Bethany is a Sabbath day's journey from Jerusalem. Okay? And Jesus traveled that entire distance, not into Jerusalem, but to Bethany. Turn now to the 12th chapter of Acts, or not Acts, but John. It says, then Jesus, 6 days before the Passover. Now, if we look back in the 23rd chapter of Leviticus in verse 6, we would learn that, basically, we would learn in that chapter that basically all of the feasts of the Jews except first fruits was observed as a Sabbath, but because they're tied to certain days of the week, at any point in time, the Passover Sabbath would fall on each of the 7 days of the week at any point in time. Okay? Just like, for us celebrating the 4th of July. Well, 4th of July is always on the 4th of July, but it's on the same day of the week every year? No, it rotates through. Okay. So, then Jesus, 6 days before the Passover. Now remember, he's been in Ephraim. So he had to travel first from Ephraim to Jericho. Or not to Jericho. Jericho's right. Okay, he had to travel first to Jericho. And we read, then Jesus, 6 days before the Passover. Now, in the 23rd chapter of Leviticus, the Passover was always observed on the 15th day of the month. Now, the Jews got in the habit of including the word Passover with the preparation day when they would actually kill the lamb and roast it. Yeah. And that was always done on the 14th day of the month. And at sunset, then they'd finish cooking the lamb. They'd eat the lamb. They would be dressed. They'd be ready to travel the way they were when they left Egypt, okay? And so that particular Sabbath, because every Passover was observed as a Sabbath, okay? So that particular Sabbath fell that year on what we would call Thursday night, and these events that we're going to read about, it was during Wednesday day or on the 14th day of the month that the lamb for the Passover had to be put to death. So we read, then Jesus, 6 days before the Passover. So from the 15th, 6 days before, is the 9th. So on the 9th, he traveled from Ephraim to Jericho and from Jericho to Bethany on the 9th day of the month. So now let's continue reading. And then 6 days before the Passover, the verb's in the wrong place. Jesus came to Bethany. Let me read it. Then Jesus, 6 days before the Passover, came to Bethany, where Lazarus was, which had been dead, whom he had raised from the dead. And, of course, Lazarus was the brother of Mary and Martha. And then they made him a supper. Now, if we consider the distance traveled and the events that we are recorded in Matthew, in Luke, and in Mark, then, for example, when Jesus came into Jericho, I think he healed, I can't remember whether, one or two blind men going into the city. And as he came out of the city, I think he was one going in and two coming out. And then as he was on the way, a little guy by the name of Zacchaeus, he was short of stature. And there were crowds that wanted to see Jesus. And so he had to climb a tree. And the translators make it a sycamore tree. And a sycamore tree is very slick barked and very difficult to climb. Yeah, it was more than likely a carob tree, which there's a lot of those in Israel. They're big and they're very easy to climb. So he had to get elevated so he could see over the crowd. And when Jesus saw him, he said, "Come down. I must," he had his noon meal with Zacchaeus. And then after that, he continues, as we'll read here, to Bethany. Okay? And there in Bethany, they made him a supper, and Martha served, but Lazarus was one of them that sat at the table. Now, what have we seen? Came from Ephraim to Jericho, healed a couple of blind men, another blind man had his noon meal with Zacchaeus, and then he arrives at Bethany. Now, if we figure that out, it's kind of hard looking on a map to see because that's mountainous terrain. So, he could have traveled maybe 30 miles that day walking. Might not have been quite that far. But the distance from Bethany to Jerusalem all by itself is a Sabbath day journey. Bethany, real close to Jerusalem. So tradition says that Christ is a Sabbath breaker because he traveled many, many miles and performed all kinds of miracles. Then he arrived at Bethany, and he could have arrived after sunset, but he would have had to have been within a Sabbath day's journey of Bethany when the sun went down. So then we read, then took Mary a pound of ointment of spikenard. They had prepared a Sabbath meal. There they made him a supper, and Martha served, but Lazarus was one of them that sat at the table with him. So he didn't make that journey as we have on Sunday. He actually, the Sabbath began, when they arrived. And in Jewish reckoning of time, we have the night before the day. Okay? So if we count back from, this is hard to do without a chart and all that type of thing, 6 days before Passover. Now, if Jesus was crucified on Friday, then the Jewish day begins at sunset. So the 15th of the month would start at sunset. So the Friday day would be the 14th day of the month. So we count back Friday, Thursday, Wednesday, Tuesday, Monday, and I didn't count it right. Anyway, 6 days from the 15th, his triumphal entry would have been on Monday, if he was crucified on Friday, because he was crucified on the preparation of the Sabbath. But we have to count the 15th is actually after sunset, So a Friday crucifixion doesn't fit the parameters. So then if we move it back to where we match all the parameters, in fact, if Christ was crucified on Friday, we can't have a Palm Sunday. It has to be a Palm Monday. Because that would corresponds with what we read. So tradition then says, number one, they would make Christ a Sabbath breaker because he made a triumphal entry on Sunday. But if he traveled from Ephraim to Jericho and from Jericho to Bethany the day before, that's far more than a Sabbath day's journey. So the point is, like so many of the traditions of the Jews, they kept traditions according to the way they figured things out rather than according to the Scripture. So, you know, what is the problem with the, you know, a Friday crucifixion? Well, the Sabbath was about to begin, right? Well, they assume that we only have a Sabbath, you know, on Saturday, and Friday would be the day before, you know, the Sabbath. And so, and the next day makes his triumphal entry. So they've got him traveling, you know, actually they've got him traveling on the Sabbath, far more than Sabbath day's journey, if you're going to have a, you know, Friday crucifixion, a Saturday placed in the tomb, and there are not 3 days and three nights, according to the 12th chapter of Matthew, between Friday afternoon and Sunday before dawn. Remember, the woman came to the tomb while it was yet dark, so that, you know, it hadn't dawned on the first day of the week. The night portion, you know, yeah, Jews have their night first, then they have their day. So we never get to the day portion. So even with a partial day theory, which they teach, there are not 3 days and three nights between Friday and Sunday. Okay? Then what sign did Jesus give in the 12th chapter of Matthew? As Jonah was 3 days and three nights in the belly of the great fish. They translate that whale. It's not a whale. It's a fish which God prepared. We don't know what it was. But Jonah was in that the belly of that fish, whatever it was, for 3 days and three nights. You know, could have been one of those big tiger sharks. They're huge. You know, I don't know what it was. No one knows what it was. It was a great fish that God prepared. Okay. And what's the sign that he gives to the nation of Israel? 3 days and three nights. Do we have 3 days and three nights between Friday and Sunday before sunrise? No. So what happens to that sign? It doesn't get fulfilled. Well, then what happens to our salvation? If he didn't fulfill the things that were written about him, he's not the Christ, and we're yet in our sins. This is important. Yeah. And so we read here, they made him a supper, and they had that meal together, and after the supper, Mary anointed Jesus for burial. Now, what were the Jews to do on the 14th day of the month? Yeah. So 6 days before Passover would be the 9th, and at sunset it would be the 10th. Jewish time, we'd have to go to midnight for it to be the 10th by our reckoning of time. Okay, so he traveled 6 days before Passover. That's the 9th. And at sunset, it would be the 10th day of the month. And when were the Jews, according to the book of Exodus, when were the Jews to select the Passover lamb for death? On the 10th day of the month. When was Christ anointed for burial? On the 10th day of the month. So when we get away from tradition and we get to what the Word of God says, we see that Christ fulfilled all of these things completely and perfectly. But tradition makes him a liar. Tradition leaves him without fulfilling it. Okay. So let's go on then. So Mary took this ointment of spikenard. It was very costly. And anointed the feet of Jesus and wiped his feet with her hair, and the house was filled with the odor of the ointment. Then saith one of his disciples, Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, which should betray him. This was the devil incarnate. Why was not this ointment sold for 300 pence and given to the poor? And John tells us why he was so concerned about this money. Notice what it says. This, he said, not that he cared for the poor, but because he was a thief and had the bag. That is, he handled the finances for the Lord and the disciples. Okay. So we get that 300 pence into the bag. I can purloin some of it. Yeah. So, and he bare what was put therein. Okay. Then said Jesus, let her alone. Against the day of my burying has she kept this. For the poor always you have with you, but me you have not always. And much people of the Jews, therefore, knew that he was there, and they came not for Jesus' sake alone, but that they might see Lazarus. Remember, the Lord had raised Lazarus from the dead, whom he had raised from the dead. But the chief priests consulted that they might put Lazarus also to death, because that by reason of him, many of the Jews went away and believed on Jesus. Now, what does John say? On the next day. Well, when does the next day begin by Roman time? At midnight. So, you know, so we still. So the next day, Jesus makes his triumphal entry into Jerusalem. Now, what's the problem with that? You know, we read in the first chapter of Acts that Bethany is a Sabbath day's journey from Jerusalem, so that's okay. But what did he do the day before? He traveled way beyond a Sabbath day's journey. So tradition has our Lord violating the Sabbath, you know, big time. I mean, he challenged the Jews on their interpretations of the Sabbath. But he never would have violated it by traveling from Ephraim to Jericho and from Jericho to Bethany. You know. And that's what he did the day before. They had a meal for him. And the next day, he made his triumphal entry into Jerusalem. Well, if we have a Palm Sunday, then we have a violation of the Sabbath on the day before, because Jesus traveled way too far the day before. And so it said they took branches of palm trees and went forth to meet him and cried, Hosanna, blessed is the King of Israel that cometh in the name of the Lord. Now, when we actually work it out, and I have a little booklet, there's one of them over there, and I can make more if you want to read it. Many of you have read it. But I use all of the scripture in all four Gospels to show the events that Jesus did and the days that he did them on, you know, in this last week in the life of our Lord. So Christ was actually crucified on Wednesday. He was placed in the tomb at sunset, or just right at sunset. So he was in the grave at sunset. It's no longer Wednesday. It would be by our time, but by Jewish time, it's now Thursday night. So he was in the tomb Thursday night, Thursday day, Friday night, Friday day, Saturday night, Saturday day. And what happens at sunset on Saturday? It's the first day of the week. The night precedes the day. We see that. And the evening and the morning were the first day in creation. So God counts from sunset to sunset, but the Romans count from midnight to midnight. And we count from midnight to midnight. Yeah. So when you try to put our calendar into the scriptures, it doesn't fit. That was the Roman calendar. And we have to interpret things according to the scriptures. So when was the Passover lamb sacrificed? On, he was actually sacrificed the day before or on the 14th day of the month. Now, when we read back in Leviticus, we find that the Passover was on the 15th day of the month, When did the 15th begin in Jewish time? At sunset. Okay. So then when we count back, Jesus was, you know, at sunset it would have been a Jewish Thursday, but by our time, it's Wednesday. So we count back, from Wednesday to 6 days before Passover, then we end up on the ninth day of the month coming from Jericho or from Ephraim to Jericho and so forth. And it's very important that our Lord fulfilled all that was written of him perfectly. But by our church traditions, which were primarily established by the Roman Catholic Church, Jesus told the Jews, full well you reject the commandments of God that you might keep what? The traditions of men. And the traditions of men make our Lord a Sabbath breaker, and they make our Lord a liar, because he says as Jonah was 3 days and three nights in the belly of the great fish, so was the Son of Man 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. We have to have 72 hours in the grave. Okay. That was the sign of the prophet Jonah. But one of the first questions that came to my mind after I was saved, it didn't happen immediately, but I started looking at things and I read, you know, I've told you about going on TDY to Alaska and read through the Gospels and everything and just kept reading. And I say, Jesus was supposed to be in the tomb for 3 days and three nights. No matter how I figure it, I can't get 3 days and three nights between Saturday or Friday afternoon and Saturday before dawn or Sunday before dawn. And there's no way that you can get it. And I taught this when I was at First Baptist Church, when I taught there for about 8 years. And there was a men's Bible study on Tuesday, and one of the associate pastors usually taught it, and he asked me to teach it, and we happened to be studying the final week in the life of our Lord. And I laid out everything completely, and, you know, in greater detail than I've been doing with you. And when Ken got back, nobody said a word to me at the time that I was teaching. But when they got back, they said, you know, Andre's teaching heresy. And so Ken asked me what I'd taught, and I showed him exactly what I taught and all the proof. Everything that's in that little booklet, I showed him. Yeah. And that little booklet has, I mean, it's got to be at least 30 pages long that has to do with the final days in the life of our Lord Jesus Christ. And the Lord fulfilled it perfectly. Well, he said to me, well, a lot of good and great men wouldn't agree with you. Well, what did Jesus tell the Jews? Full well, you reject the commandments of God that you might keep the traditions of men. Right. And when you show, you know, there's no way you can get 3 days and three nights. So that was a sign to the nation of Israel that Jesus is the Christ. Do you think they're going to accept any part of a day as a day theory for him to be 3 days and three nights? And they knew that Jonah was 72 hours in the fish. So Christ fulfilled it perfectly. And so on the next day, okay, now, Jesus, if we figured this out, let me think. Okay. Wednesday day is the 14th. Wednesday night's the 15th. So we count Wednesday, Tuesday, Monday, Sunday, Saturday, and Friday. 6 days before the Passover, Jesus came to Bethany. What would happen? At sunset, it would be the Sabbath. And he was anointed for burial on the 10th day of the month, which happened to be a Sabbath day's journey. And then we read in the first chapter of Acts that from Bethany to Jerusalem was a Sabbath day's journey. Jesus made his triumphal entry on the Sabbath, which was lawful for him to do. Yeah. He went into the temple. He didn't drive out the money changers or any of that on that Sabbath day. He went into the temple, came out, looked about, and then returned to Bethany, which was proper for him to do on the Sabbath, because Bethany is a Sabbath day's journey from Jerusalem. So, and then the next day he makes his triumphal entry. Well, when he makes his, not his triumphal entry, the next day he goes into Jerusalem, enters the temple, takes the cat of nine tails and scourges those, exchangers of money. The Jews taught that you cannot buy a sacrifice or anything to be used in the ministry. You have to use Jewish money. Okay? So, when you exchange money, the rate of exchange was in favor of the Jews in the temple, So they were making a profit on Jews would come to Jerusalem from all over the world, and they would, the rate of exchange was in the benefit of the Jews in Jerusalem. And that's why Jesus took a cat of nine tails and drove them out of the temple, but he didn't do that on the Sabbath. He did that, I'd have to look up my little chart in the book, because trying to keep that all in your mind is pretty easy to get mixed up. Anyway, so he made his entry into Jerusalem. Now let's go back to the 8th chapter of Mark. I think it's chapter 8. No, it's farther on. Matthew, Mark. Come on. Okay. I think it's the, it's the 10th chapter of Mark and on into the 11th chapter. And now we're picking up what took place back 6 days before Passover. Passover's always numbered the 15th. The daylight portion before the Passover is the 14th. See, because the Jews keep their days, from sunset to sunset. So, and they came to Jericho. This is on the ninth day of the month, 6 days before Passover. And as he went out of Jericho with the disciples and a great number of people, blind Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, sat by the highway side begging. And when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. Yeah. And many charged him that he should hold his peace. But he cried the more a great deal, thou son of David, have mercy on me. And Jesus stood still and commanded him to be called. And they called the blind man, saying unto him, be of good comfort, rise, he calleth thee. And he, casting away his garment, rose and came to Jesus. And Jesus answered and said unto him, what wilt thou that I should do unto thee? And the blind man said unto him, Lord, that I might receive my sight. So he healed this blind man, Bartimaeus, 6 days before Passover, on the ninth day of the month. And Jesus said unto him, go thy way, and it says thy faith. In Greek it says the faith of thee. The faith, it's singular with a definite article. It's the body of revealed truth concerning Jesus Christ in his person and his work. The faith of thee hath made thee whole. You can have all kinds of faith. You can believe in aliens, or you can believe in Martians or this or that. You can believe anything you want to believe, but it doesn't make it so. But it's the faith, what God says about these things in you, that makes you whole. Okay. And so immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus in the way. And when they came nigh to Jerusalem unto Bethphage and Bethany at the Mount of Olives, he sendeth forth two of his disciples. So this is, you know, he arrived on the 10th day of the month. They had the meal for him. So he was selected to be the Passover lamb according to the 12th chapter of Exodus on the 10th day of the month. Then he sendeth forth two of his disciples and saith unto them, go your way into the village over against you, and as soon as ye be entered into it, ye shall find the colt tied, whereon never man sat, loose him, and bring him. And if any man say unto you, why do ye this? Say ye that the Lord hath need of him, and straightway he will send him thither. And they went their way and found the colt. Now notice where we find the colt. He's tied. He's by the door. He's on the outside of the door in a place where two ways met. He says, loose him. Now, where did the Lord find you? Where did the Lord find me? Tied in trespasses and sin, an ass. An ass had to be redeemed in the Jewish economy. When an ass would have a foal, they had to make a sacrifice for that foal, or they had to break its neck and kill it. Okay. So where are we? We're condemned outside the door where two ways meet. There's a narrow way, and by faith in Jesus Christ, we can come to salvation. And there's a broad way. You know, the world says, you can get to heaven by 4,000 different moral systems. Yeah. And so, you know, all roads lead to heaven, so to speak, in the mind of the world. Yeah. So we got a way. You know, Jesus said, I'm the way, what? The truth and the life. And what? No man cometh unto the Father but by me. So these physical acts are teaching spiritual truth. He's tied. I'm dead in, you know, when the Lord saved my soul, I was dead in trespasses and sin, all tied up, you know, couldn't set myself free, but I was outside the door. And that day the Lord said, come on in. You know, he said it to you on the day of your salvation. Come on in. You know, so we're loose and we come into the presence of the Lord. And where does that happen? When we're tied up in trespasses and sin of this world outside of the door. Okay. Sort of marvelous truth of, or a type of salvation in Jesus Christ in the ass. An ass had to be redeemed. Man has to be redeemed. Okay. So it's a perfect picture. I have to apologize for calling you, all of you, a bunch of asses. But that's what we are. You know, God can't use us until we're redeemed. And where are we redeemed? We're tied outside the door. Jesus said, I'm the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved. Now, today is called Palm Sunday. And Palm Sunday denies the truth of the Word of God. Friday will be called Good Friday. And Friday denies the truth of the Word of God. There are not 3 days and three nights between Friday and Sunday. But if you go back to the book of Leviticus, you see that every Passover was observed as a Sabbath. And the Passover was always observed on the 15th day of the month. And so we see what we've seen in John's gospel. It brings us into perfect alignment with Christ our Passover, according to the 5th chapter of 1 Corinthians. Christ our Passover was sacrificed for us. And so what did he do? He loosed us. He made us free. And now we have, you know, really the privilege of serving him in whatever capacity he's given us the spiritual gift to serve him, and we do it how? By faith, because whatsoever not of faith is sin. It's sad. Jewish tradition denied the person and work of Christ. Christian tradition denies the person and work of Jesus Christ. But the Word of God shows that Christ fulfilled every aspect of those feasts perfectly and completely. And then we have the answer of a fellow trained in an interdenominational school. A lot of good and great men wouldn't agree with you. Well, a lot of, by his definition, the whole Jewish Sanhedrin Council, the high priest, the Romans, a lot of good and great men, by his definition, didn't believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. And as a consequence, they went to hell. So, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Father, we praise you and thank you for the marvelous way that the Feast of the Jews pointed to faith in Jesus Christ. The sacrificial animals pointed to faith in Jesus Christ. But sadly, the traditions of the Jews put the focus on man and not on Christ. And so they died in their sin. Bless in each of our hearts and lives, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.